But you're walking 269, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Some of the word studies that you look at trace back to the etymology, the origin of a word. There's a lot of connections within them. Think of the connection between the word sympathy and empathy. Ending is the same. That's where we would get the feeling part of those words. But the earlier part, the prefix of it, different. Sympathy, a shared feeling. Someone else hurts and you hurts with them because they are hurting. A shared feeling. Empathy goes deeper than that. An empathy is an experienced feeling. There are some people that you sympathize with and you cry because they're crying. You're hurt because they're hurting. There are others, they're hurting and you know that hurts. You've experienced that hurt before. That's the difference between sympathy and empathy. Both are shared, but one of them is experienced. You've been there. Sympathy, empathy, apathy. Ending is the same. It's still talking about feelings. Sympathy is a shared feeling. Empathy is an experienced feeling. Apathy, there is no feeling. It's past the point of that. It's a lack of interest. It's a lack of concern. It's a lack of care. And it can happen without us even knowing it. Sometimes a commercial will be on TV and Carl will ask me what that commercial is about. I say, I don't know. See, you're looking right at it. I didn't know I faded out, but I wasn't paying attention. I don't care. It can happen without even knowing it. And it can happen spiritually without even knowing it. Are you with me in Revelation chapter 3? In verse 16 to the church at Laodicea, Jesus says, "You are lukewarm." What word would you put there? How would you paraphrase that? How would you describe that? They don't care. They are indifferent. They have no feeling. They're lukewarm. They don't know it. You know what they said about themselves? Look in verse 17. Here's what they thought about themselves. "You say, I am rich. I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. But you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." They don't know what they are. They could not see themselves for what they really were. They had this grand picture of them. But their that apathy that they had, that lukewarmness, the indifference, it's one of Satan's biggest and best tools. That you and I get in this spiritual, perpetual state of just blah. You might not tend or acknowledge or even be aware that you kind of fade out during a commercial. But we do. It's not something we care about. We just kind of... We're not going to wake up one day and look ourselves in the mirror and say, "I'm going to quit caring about spiritual things." We don't write ourselves in the journal, "2 weeks from now, I'm going to quit." We don't do that. What happens is we just kind of, over time, this apathy kind of kicks in and we go places we would have never gone. We end up places we never dreamed we would end up. And the catch is, we can't let that happen. We cannot be apathetic about God's works. We can't be apathetic about our responsibilities to those works. We can't be apathetic about our worship or our service. Turn to Romans chapter 13. I'm going to use something out of its context to make this application for us. Romans chapter 13. Paul speaks in the application phase of the book. And he's talking about the works that we had to do and responsibilities that we have. And I understand that. But as it applies to apathy, let this phrase resonate just a minute. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Paul says, "I want you to know this. I want you to be aware of this." And here it is. "I want you to know that now it is high time to wake up out of our sleep." Can we? I know we're pulling that out of its immediate context, but can we not make the application to ourselves? It's time to wake up to how dangerous apathy can be. I may have told you this story before, and if it is, that's okay. Joseph Casimir, who many of you know and love and think so much of, last time he was here, about 4 or 5 years ago, whenever that was, one of the times we had together, just private time, he and I, and he does a lot of meetings, goes to a lot of places. I said, Joseph, what are you seeing? What are you, everywhere you go, what's a problem? What can you preach on and you know that's going to be needful? And in about a half a second, I mean, I didn't get the question out of my mouth. He said, worldliness and apathy. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't say, I'll get back with you tomorrow. Let me ponder on it. Worldliness and apathy. And all the places he's gone, all the places he's seen, those are the things you can count on. Worldliness is a problem in churches. And apathy was a problem in Laodicea, and it's still a problem today. And so what this lesson's for, these are reminders to just wake us up. Let's remember we can't sleepwalk on this. We can't go into this state of blah and get the idea of it just doesn't matter. It does matter. And we want to wake up to some causes. First of all, what are some causes that can allow apathy, this uncaring, indifferent attitude? How can that get into mind in your life? How's that happen? It may happen because we never truly converted. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Do you know somebody who did all the outward steps, as we would call it, all the outward actions, culminating in baptism, and they did it to get mom and daddy off their back? You know anybody? They did it because they were dating a boy or a girl, and they thought, you know, that's a way I could make some headway. You know anybody like that? Growth will never happen until there is a desire for it. And if we never truly converted, we may have done some things. We might even believe some things. But we never really gave our heart up. Apathy is going to happen. Just a matter of not if, but when. Here's the attitude that we have to have toward growth. Look in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Start with me in verse 1. Therefore, lay aside all wickedness and guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speakings as newborn babes. Desire, long for the sincere milk, the spiritual milk of the word. Why? So that you can grow unto salvation. Work backward in that verse. How is it that me and you can grow to salvation? Well, we're going to have to drink of the milk of the word. What's going to lead to us drinking of the milk of the word to the point that it leads to profit? Desire. Longing. So let's start with the most basic. Sometimes apathy happens because we just don't really care a whole lot about spiritual things. We don't care about spiritual things. We're not going to read about them. We're not going to study about them. We're not going to apply the things, the ones that actually hurt, the ones that have to bring about a change of life. And apathy is going to happen. If we don't care about spiritual things, we're not going to care about spiritual things. How's that? For sure. Some deep thinking. It might be that we just never really gave our heart to God. Wake up. If that's where we are, we're trying to be honest today. If that's where I am, how long am I going to stay in that daydream? How long am I going to go in that sleepwalk? It's time to wake up. But in all honesty, that's probably not the cause of most of our apathy, is it? This room's full of people who love God, love His Word, do desire and long for it. But yet apathy still happens. So maybe it's something else. Maybe it's that we just never really have the proper respect for God that we ought to have. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. This is the first commandment. Countless times, Old and New Testament, that principle is outlined. Have we ever really ingested it? Because here's the problem. Without this sincere and honest reverence for God, here's the attitude that will happen in time. Not if, but when. We will have an attitude of, what's the big deal about sin? If we don't have a reverence and fear of God. Sin can just hang around in our life and we will let it. So how do we combat that? We've got to know who He is and we've got to know how He deals with sin. When is the last time you thought about Nadab and Abihu and the immediacy of their deaths? When's the last time you thought about Uzzah? Did what many of us would think would be an instinctive reaction when he threw his hands up? Died on the spot. When's the last time you crossed your mind? When's the last time? Here's a humble question for us. When's the last time you gave some deep thought to the certainty of judgment? The certainty that we're going to stand before the one who died for us and he's going to know everything about us. The more you and I can get those kind of thoughts in our mind, it will remove questions like, what's the big deal about sin? Because we're not going to ask what the big deal about sin is when we remind ourselves what happened with Nadab and Abihu. We're not going to say, well, what's the big deal about sin when we remind ourselves about Uzzah and others. If we could convince ourselves that judgment was tomorrow, what would you change today? Because that's the reverence that we ought to have for Him. The certainty of it, the scarce fact that we will be there. Books will be opened, our life judged out of what happens and was said in the books. Do we fear Him? Do we revere Him? Do we honor Him? Maybe that is it. Because here's the certainty. We don't honor God. Apathy is going to happen. Why would I care about His word if I don't care about Him? Why would I respect what He wants if I don't truly respect Him? Apathy, that's going to happen. But that's probably not what's going to affect me and you, right? These are true. These are statements of fact. If we don't really convert, apathy is going to happen. We're not going to care a whole lot. If we don't really love God, don't respect Him, revere Him, apathy is going to happen. But we're probably not where me and you are having our biggest troubles at. So let's get a little closer. What about all the blessings that we've got? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What about all the worldly pulls that we have? We won't turn to 1 John 2, the pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the things pulling on us on a continual basis. Maybe now we're getting a little bit closer. Hey, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll look at a statement here in just a moment. But let's just think about the affluence that we have and the abundance that we have. Life is just easy for us. But to us, it's just life. We don't hardly think about it much anymore. All the stuff that we've got, it's almost as if we just take it for granted. We just assume that it's always going to be there. And if we're not careful, we stop being as thankful as we ought to. We stop being as grateful and as gracious as we ought to. And the very blessing that God's done for us, all the things that He's given us, it becomes the very stumbling block that can lead to apathy. We were warned about that. Israelites were warned about it. Are you with me in the Deuteronomy 6? If you can get, Moses is about to die. He's in the last 30 days of his life. And when he dies, Joshua is the one who leads them across, and what we call the conquest of Canaan begins. Jericho and Ai and so on. Before they ever crossed the river, here's what they were told, verse 10. It will be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land that He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and good cities, which you did not build. Houses full of good things, you didn't fill them up. Wells dug that you didn't dig. Vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And you will eat and you will be full. Sounds a lot like United States of America in 2016, doesn't it? We eat and we are full. We have houses filled. We have cupboards filled. Vineyards running over. That's where we live. This is us. Verse 12. Then what? After we take all the good things God's given us. I'm going to give you good houses. I'm going to give you good crops. I'm going to give you good this. I'm going to give you good things. Then, beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the land of bondage. Can me and you make an application of that? We were not in this group at the Jordan River that Moses is telling us to, but we were brought out of bondage by the Lord. We were delivered from slavery, and we have been blessed above all people. And then we take it, and we take it, and we take it, and we get so used to it, and we forget God in our ease. Isn't it interesting that he told us to beware of that very thing? Apathy may happen because life is so sweet. We're eating cherries every single day. We're eating chocolate every day. We're eating, drinking Mountain Dews every day. Life is sweet. And it's so sweet we don't even think about God. We just, indifference happens just like with the commercial. You don't even know it. Until we look at ourselves today and we say, I haven't been as serious about things as I ought to have been. Make another an application on this. Not just the affluence and the abundance. It's the chasing of more affluence. Indifference can happen because we're chasing more abundance. We get so busy, we're missing services because of it. We get so busy that we're not opening up our homes because of it. We get so busy because I'm just so tired. Well, why is it that we're tired? Well, it might be because we've got all these irons in the fire. And it's all about more of this and more of that, and that consumes us. Have you ever just took an inventory of yourself and you realize, I haven't prayed like I ought. I haven't studied like I ought. I haven't read like I ought. I haven't done. I haven't visited. I haven't called. I've gotten so busy that I'm just too busy. Apathy is going to happen. When we get to that point, indifference is going to set in because everything else takes the place of it. So you got abundance, you got affluence, you've got chasing after more of it. We've also, apathy can happen because of all the things that we've got laid up. We've got the investments, and we've got the retirements, and we've got the nest eggs, and we forget where our trust ought to be. We forget where true trust is because we're building up all of these things that, number one, can't prevent our death, and we're building up all of these things that, number two, will have no bearing at all on eternal life. Maybe now we're a little closer to home. Because here's how serious this is. You can convert. And you can take spiritual things serious. And we can revere God. And we can love Him. And we can respect Him. And without even knowing it, we've gotten so caught up in worldly things. They're not sinful in and of themselves. But we're caught up in so much of it. God is so far back we can't hardly see Him in the rearview mirror. And it might be that when we take an honest assessment, that might be where we are right now. What did Paul tell the Romans? It's time to wake up. We need to wake up. Let me give you one more. What about the discouragements of life? Can that not lead? If we're not careful, if we don't handle them correctly, can they not lead to some apathy, some indifference? Because our mind is just so scatterbrained and so gone and you remember Elijah? I didn't put this down as a verse to go to. But Elijah, after the event at Mount Carmel, became so discouraged. You remember what he goes to Mount Sinai, and you remember what he said in his prayer? Take me out of this world. I don't even want to live anymore. That is how apathetic he became to even breathing. Living and dying to him was no difference. I'd rather be gone. Get me out of here. Disappointments and discouragements are going to happen in our life. And we have to deal with them. And if we don't deal with them properly, apathy can happen because we're so pounded on. So many weights coming from every direction. From family and from health. From culture. And we can have the attitude of it's just not worth it. We know the seven churches of Asia had that feeling. This is not worth it. Could this be us? If we hadn't got you yet, this one does. It could be anything. There's a lot of things that can lead to apathy. We're just kind of shotgun it for a little bit, try to get close to anything. But apathy's real. That's all the point we're trying to make. From a lot of different sources, a lot of different avenues, a lot of different realms, it's possible that me and you can look at ourselves right this second and realize we haven't been spiritually what we ought to be. Didn't mean to, wasn't conscious of it, but just not as much care and concern as we know it ought to have had. That's possible. And it can be possible from a lot of ways. So let's move from this. What do we do about it? How do we deal with it? What are some things we can do to wake ourselves up? First of all, we've got to recognize that it's sin. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. The first thing we've got to do is acknowledge we can't go on like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Because that's the scary thing about apathy. It can happen without us being aware of it. But we need to acknowledge that it is a sin. Apathy is not the consequence of a sin. Apathy is not the conclusion of a sin. It is sin in and of itself. Lukewarmness was disgusting to the Lord. I would rather you be cold than to be lukewarm. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. You make me sick. Apathy in and of itself is the sin. It's not the consequence of the sin. It's a sin that leads to other consequences. And so we need to, first of all, we're going to have to repent of the attitude. We're going to have to repent of that spirit. And look at all the phrases that was used. Now, again, we're going to make an application of it. Paul talking to the Corinthians about the prior letter he wrote. And in that prior letter, he's just scathed them. He just pointed sin after sin of things that they needed to wake up to. One of them was they were allowing known sexual immorality to exist. And Paul reminds them of it. He wakes them up to it, and they act. And now he's praising them for that. He says, you repented of that, and you took care of it. So start with me in verse 9. I rejoice not that you were made sorry. I hate that I had to rebuke you so bad, but you sorrow to repentance. He says, I'm not sorry at all. It led to your change. It led to your waking up. Verse 10. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works with death. So here we go. Behold this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort. It was from the heart. It was based on sorrow toward God. So here we go. You sorrowed after a godly sort. And what carefulness it worked in you. Look at this next phrase in the Old King James. What clearing of yourselves it worked in you. What indignation. What fear. What vehement desire, earnest desire. What zeal. What vindication. In all these things, you have approved yourself to be pure in this matter. If apathy is a problem, we need to be careful about it. Verse 11, we need to clear ourselves of that matter. We need to have some indignation about it. We're not going to allow it anymore. We need to have some fear and some vehement desire. We need to be zealous about removing it. We're going to take vengeance on it. And then look at that last phrase. Here's the conclusion of godly sorrow. We will be approved. We will be clear of that matter. If apathy is a problem, you can't just throw it around in the back pocket. You can't just say, I'm going to deal with it later. The first thing we've got to do is recognize that it is a sin in and of itself. It is sickening to the Lord. And we need to clear ourselves of it. We need to make pure ourselves of it. That's where it starts. But now that leads to a question then. What changes have to be made? That's what repenting is, right? It's an about face. It's a turning from. We're going to acknowledge that it's sin. We're going to let godly sorrow lead to things. What's it going to lead to? What's a part of our repenting? We're going to have to become, we're going to change our priorities. We're going to have a renewed interest and a new concern. If apathy is lack of concern, what's repenting? A renewed concern. A renewed interest. A renewed care. We're going to work to change how we think. Change the mindedness of what we put our thoughts on. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. We were just making some examples, possibly, of some things that could lead to apathy. One of them was worldly pulls. We're going to repent of that. We're going to change what we're pulled to. We're going to change the things that we think about and concentrate upon. Some of those worldly pulls, remember, that could lead to apathy was not having proper reverence for God. We're going to change that, right? That's a part of the repenting. Are we so content on earth that we don't think about spiritual things as we ought? That contentment leads to apathy. And here's what Paul said about it in Philippians chapter 3. Look in verse 18 with me. Many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now I tell you with weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul said, I've got tears in my eyes when I'm telling you about this. There are people out there, there are people among you walking in such a way. And in verse 19, with tears in his eyes. You think Paul was exaggerating? He's just trying to hammer home a point. I don't believe that at all. When he says he's weeping as he writes it, I believe every second of that. Every word of that. What's got his tears falling? People he knows and loves, verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is to their shame. And here's the last phrase to kind of culminate with it. Those who think about earthly things. Those whose mind is constantly, continually on earthly things. If apathy is a problem, we're going to have to change how we think. If worldliness is a problem, we're going to have to change how we think. If a lack of reverence and respect for God is a problem, we've got to change how we think, and we've got to stop serving the God of our belly. The idea behind that phrase is the God of our belly. Do with the things that taste good to us, feel good to us, the things we want, the things that we desire. And he ends all of that by saying, it's all about what you think about. It's all about where the mind is. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Along that line, what are you thinking? Jeremiah, in one text, makes the same statement twice concerning that. Jeremiah chapter 9, it's not in the old King James. Newer versions have given a little bit more of the original, the idea of not just knowledge, but thought. In Jeremiah chapter 9, writing to Judah, prior to the fall of Babylon, he's trying to wake them up. He's trying them to get them to see, you don't love your Lord anymore. You are apathetic to the law. You are apathetic to the sacrifices. You don't care. And God's going to punish you for it. But he's trying to call them back. And in verse 3 of Jeremiah 9, he says, they bend their tongues like bows for lies. They are not valiant for truth upon the earth. They proceed from evil to evil. They just go from one sin to the next. And now look at this. They do not know me. The older translations are going to use. But that idea behind knowledge, when you look back to the Hebrew of it, it goes beyond knowledge. It goes back to what your thoughts were. The newer translations will say, they do not think about me. I'm not in their thought process. Look in verse 6. Your habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. Again, very same word. They refuse to think about me. Me and you cannot have a proper devotion to God unless we know who He is. True devotion is not just knowing what's right and wrong. It's not just a knowledge of right and wrong, but being dedicated to that. And Judah doesn't have it. And that's what Jeremiah is trying to wake them up to. You don't think about him. You don't know him. Apathy is going to happen. Not if, but when. We're going to have to write our priorities. Get it off of the god of our belly of money and of status and of things and of stuff. Get it away from the self-gratification. And ultimately, it's going to come down to our choices. Let me give you one more. Turn back to Romans 13. Let's end where we started. Get busy. Many of you know that before I went into preaching, I was a high school teacher or a high school coach. Sometimes when you first start out, when you're young, you take whatever opening is there. So I had to coach some things I didn't really like, and you just did it because that was what the job required. I was coaching a sport I didn't really like, but the man I was working for, probably the best handler of kids that I was ever around. He was a basketball coach, and one of the things he would say was just do something. For new tennis kid, do something. Well, there's 100 things you take a charge, do something. Hit a free throw. Think about in the course of a 48-minute game how many things there are you can do. Do something. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Know this, he says. Now is high time to wake up out of our sleep. Do something. There are visits to make. There are calls to make. There are cards to send. There is food to cook. There are studies to get involved in. There are conversations to start. Do something. Because the catch is action. Leads to interest. What is it that you do? What is it, the things that you're busy about? It's the things you're interested in. It's the things you enjoy. You enjoy working in the garden, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go in the garden. You enjoy sowing, you know what you're going to do? You're going to sow. We're going to change our priorities. We're going to change the things we think on. And we're going to get busy. We're going to do something. And by doing these things, the apathy will disappear. Definition of apathy, lack of concern, lack of care. We're going to get busy. Attitudes, our goals, our desires. Let's examine ourselves, because the scary thing, I said this earlier, or at least I should have, and I hope I did. The scary thing about apathy is it can happen with us being unaware. So again, we're going to look at Romans 13 and we're going to wake ourselves up. We're going to pour ice water on us and get us out of that drogginess. Sometimes we lay down with the intention of taking a nap. We just got it in our plan. I'm going to take a 30-minute power nap. There are other times we are sitting in the chair and we just wake up. And then we don't even remember going to sleep. You ever done that? You didn't plan on taking a nap. You just woke up from a nap without being aware, without conscious thought. You just dozed out. We've all experienced it sitting in the lounge. We've all experienced it sitting in the couch. It can happen spiritually. Have you dozed out? Without knowing it, have you just kind of faded out? We're waking up today. Get your songbooks out. It's time to wake up. It's time to show concern about the things maybe we haven't been as concerned about. We're going to show care and attention to the things that we've let slip. And that's our invitation. Let's wake up. If you're not a Christian, I'm going to speak just a moment to ask the question, do you know who Jesus is? Do you believe Jesus is God's Son? Do you believe He died for your sins, and you believe that you're going to stand before Him in judgment? If you believe those things, the only way you would know that is by faith. Because you're not going to learn it in science books. You're not going to learn it sitting under a pine tree. The only way you could know those things is if you have learned it through study of God's Word. Why don't you do something on that thing? Do something on those beliefs. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as your Lord and be baptized to wash away your sins. Be forgiven. Don't let His death be in vain. If you are a Christian and you did those things long ago, but life gets in the way,
and things happen, and discouragements happen, and we find ourselves in that rat race chasing more and more of the stuff and things, and we just haven't given it the attention. We're waking up today, and we're repenting today, and we're going to do something today. If it might be that you need to do it while we're together. But let's all repent, and let's all be better at the things we've been asked to do. If you need prayers, if you want some encouragement, do it while we stand and sing.